today as we come to the table.
God's going to do this so much so that his name will be declared in all the earth. Question, was God's name declared in all the earth because of what happened in Egypt and the 10 plagues? Yes, because in that day, even when they went in the promised land in Jericho, remember the harlot there in Jericho? She said, we've heard about you and we heard what your God did down in Egypt. So around the world, they knew then. And is it still known today? The 10 plagues of Egypt is one of the most famous things in all the world. People know it. Those who know the word or those who know of the Bible and have TV, I mean, even just the movies that are on. And so he says, the result will be my name will be declared in all the earth. And God's name is being declared in all the earth. And it's been happening ever since.
When something big happens, the world tends to hear about it. A war breaks out, a pandemic, a controversial new leader taking office. It's all over the news. Big things catch our attention and draw us in. And the thing is, that's been happening for a long time. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark tells you today how word traveled back in the days of Moses. There wasn't mass press releases or flooding social media feeds like you see today, but the news still got out, and it still grabbed people's attention. Other nations heard what God was doing for the Israelites in Egypt, and they remembered when this same nation made their way into new territory. Now let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 9 as he begins his message, The Plague of Hail.
Exodus chapter 9, as we get tonight to the seventh plague, the plague of hail. As you guys know, we've been going through the 10 plagues of Egypt, but we come to the plagues of Egypt. And guys, the thing to keep in mind when we come to the plagues, remember the similarities. I want you to be able to look at the Bible as a whole, recognize the similarities with the plagues of Egypt and the plagues we see in the book of Revelation, and also recognize a pattern in the way God judges, that God judges the gods of the world, that God wants to show that he's greater than the gods of the world. And I think even as equal to that, if not more, is as a people turn away from God and refuse to heed the word of God, the more plagues that come, the more things that come upon a nation. And I'm not going to say that America's under the plagues of God necessarily, but you know, when I go through the plagues and I go through Revelation and I see where America's headed, and not that there's not hope for America, you know, when I say that, there's a lot of believers here and God can send revival, but when I see the direction we're headed, it concerns me. Because when a nation turns away from God and they refuse to listen to the word of God, and we're going to get into that tonight, they had no place for the word of God. They didn't place God's word in their heart. God begins to send plagues. And I'm watching what's happening in our nation with same-sex marriage issues becoming very normal and anybody that opposes it being, you know, horrible or whatever. And God is the one who says that it's wrong. We didn't come up with that. And again, you can pick that like any other number of sins in the Bible. But the thing that's scary about it is the normalcy that's being pushed on us with that. Now, universities, one of the universities in America having abortion pills in vending machines. Maybe you heard about that. Now with the new health care, there's more things that are coming out in the health care bill. But when I see where our nation is going and I see what's happening to our country, I see the enemy really getting in and really getting a stronghold. And guys, it's not a political issue. Please don't get caught in that trap. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue. This is not who the president is or who it's not or who the congressman. I'm not saying that that doesn't make a difference if you have people in there that are godly and people that aren't. I'm saying this is a spiritual attack on this nation. And if you look back through history, Satan has always tried to get into every nation, not just America, every nation, and corrupt it. And then to corner the believers and to push God out and all these kind of things, it's that same repeating history that we see over and over throughout history. Same thing was happening in Egypt and had happened in Egypt. And so when it got to a point to where God said, that's enough, we can't have this anymore, we can't deal with this anymore, God began to send these plagues and all these things, judging the gods of Egypt and hoping that, again, the nation of Egypt would repent and that Pharaoh would repent. They didn't. Some in the nation did repent. And we're going to see that by the time they moved out of the land of Egypt, a lot of the Egyptians went with them. And the Egyptians, if you will, became Israelites. We'll also see that some of them that went just went probably because of fear and interest, but never really committed to them. And they will see them later on as referred to as the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude was probably as much trouble, if not more, than it would have been better if they had just stayed in Egypt, because they never did give their heart to God. And all they did was hang out with all the believers and cause problems trying to bring the world into, you know, what was going on there in the midst of the camp. And we see the same thing today, don't we? You know, you have the mixed multitude in the body of Christ today, and oftentimes they cause more trouble than the world does. Matter of fact, I believe they do because they're within the walls of the church, and I'm speaking of the church as a whole worldwide, and we see those problems. Well, tonight we come to the plague of hail as God continues to turn up the heat on Pharaoh, turn up the heat on the Egyptians, try to get them as a nation to repent of their sin and to listen to God. And as I said, we're going to see they have no place for the Lord, at least not at this point. Now, again, the seventh plague, the plague of hail, as we said, and this is going to be a devastating plague to the nation of Egypt. How many of us know what hell can do? You know, as I looked at this now, like, you know what, this has been so recent for us, we really understand this whole thing about hell, but what's amazing is we can't even compare what happened here in Knoxville to what happened in Egypt. You see, in Knoxville, if you were outside in it, you wish you weren't, but you wouldn't be killed. Everybody with me? In Egypt, if you were outside in it, you were dead. It killed everyone who was outdoors. It killed all the animals that were outdoors. That's how bad, how big, how wicked, how mean this hell was. It was drastic. Now remember, before God got to this place, God gave them lots of warning. And what I find interesting about the plagues, and that's why I see a lot of parallels, and I believe God's chastisement, I'm just going to say it, I believe America's under the chastising hand of God. And that may not go good in some theological circles, and some people might mock that and say this and that or whatever they want to say. But I believe that based on my understanding of Scripture. As I look at the way God works and I watch what's happening in our nation, I'm not saying we're to the place these guys were, but the point is, God starts out gradually, and then if the nation doesn't wake up, God begins to get firmer in those chastisements. And as you watch the chastisements of God, they start out with warnings, and then they move to action where people are not really hurt. But then if it keeps going on, you begin to see deaths and sorrow. And I look back over the years, and I don't know if you guys recognize it in 2012 or whatever, but it seemed to be that we had tornadoes and storms and all these things, and very few people were ever killed. Very few numbers. One here, one there, five in a city, that is it. This past year, we got into hundreds being killed from one storm coming through. There was a drastic upturn in the nature of the storms that were hitting. And I look at the plagues that were happening here in Exodus. God started out with just giving warnings. When they didn't heed the warnings, he began to send the problems, the plagues. And then later on, he began to actually say, there's actually going to be loss of life. And so you see the grace of God up to a point, but then God says, all right, it's time to turn the heat up. And I'm not trying to put logic on that. It doesn't mean that those who died were under the judgment of God. I'm not saying that. You know, Jesus, when they asked him, this wall fell on these 18 Galileans and killed them. And they said, Lord, what did these men do that the wall fell on them and killed them? He said, hey, look, I'm here to tell you that if you don't repent, you're going to die as well. So he didn't say that the wall wasn't some type of chastisement. He didn't say that it was. That wasn't the point. The point was, hey, everyone needs to repent or they'll all perish. And we all have to stand before God on Judgment Day. Whether I get killed tonight by a storm passing through, the righteous get killed oftentimes as well as the unrighteous, do they not? It just depends on what our time is to go and what our time is not. But again, you see the intensity of how God deals with the people, the intensity of how God deals with a nation. You know, things that I watch for when I see the way God judged lands in the past. You know, one of the ways that God judged lands was he increased the wild animals and the children began to be killed. Because obviously they're an easier target. Just yesterday, I'm reading this article that there's a resurgence of mountain lions in America. They're starting to multiply all over the place, and mountain lions in places that they didn't used to be, and blah, blah, blah. And then today, lo and behold, I look at the news right before I come here, and it says, child grabbed from family and attacked by mountain lion just today. Right after the article saying they increased. Now, I'm not saying that was the judgment of God. I'm not saying that was the chastisement of God. I'm not saying that that was God doing anything. My point is, when you begin to see a nation that turns more away from the Lord and you watch things begin to happen, these are the kind of things you're going to see. You're going to see an increase in wild animal deaths. You're going to see an increase in storm deaths. This goes right along with the Bible. God says in his word, I will do this. He says, if you don't repent, I'll send the wild beasts among you. If you don't repent, I'm going to send this among you. I'm going to send that among you. So again, a lot of people don't like this message, but it's burning in my bosom tonight, as they say. And not because I like it, but I have to say what God puts in my heart. And I believe that we are under the chastising hand of God. Again, we talk about the storm of hail, you know, that came through. We've never seen anything like that before, have we? They were talking about, I think it was at the Billy Graham Rapid Response, they were talking about how exponentially in 2011, I think I said 2012, in 2011, exponentially, the increase in all the deaths and all the tragedies. Just think back about the tsunami and the earthquakes and all the things, the tornadoes, all that happened in 2011. It almost seems like, well, that's in the past. It's already gone by. But guys, the jump, the chart, it just went off the charts. And again, remember also the Bible says that the earth is going to be having contractions in the last days. And as we have those contractions, it's going to come in clusters and they're going to be more intense. So we're going to see some of that as well. So again, I want to be careful how I categorize all of this. Only God knows what he's doing and only God knows what he's not doing. So I'm not saying anything emphatically. All I'm saying is from what I see in the scripture and what I see how God dealt with the nation of Egypt here, I see a lot of eerie similarities in some of the things that are going on around the world and even in our country. And with the increase here of the hail, you know, we saw what the small hail did, but this the size of this hail doesn't tell us the actual weight of it or all that, but we know that it was massive because it was actually killing people. If you were outside, you were dead. You know, I remember we were in here on Wednesday night, and it was so loud. For those of you that were in here, like as I said, you couldn't even hear me, you know, and that's pretty amazing, something so loud to drown me out. And that was just the small hail that we had. But look at the damage it did to Knoxville. Look at the damage it did to our region. Now think about hail large enough to kill people outside. What would that have done to our buildings, our cars? The psyche, if you will, of our area. I mean, just massive. And so we jump into that in chapter 9, verse 13. So notice then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Now notice God goes right back to identifying himself. I'm not one of your gods. I'm not one of your false gods of all these different things you've got. I'm the God of the Hebrews. And so another line drawn in the sand with the same message over and over again. Pharaoh, if you don't obey, there are more judgments to come. You think that Pharaoh would get it. And this is what God does with us as well when we don't get it. Again, he turns the heat up and he's increasing the heat on Pharaoh saying, you know, I'm trying to get your attention until you do finally get it. And oftentimes it's delivered in painful ways, the same way it is here with Pharaoh. Now, again, I think you guys know me good enough and know the word good enough, most of you that have been coming for any length of time, to know that I'm not saying that every time you have a trial or have pain or something hard in your life that God's judging you. Everybody knows that, right? Okay, it doesn't mean God's judging you at all. Matter of fact, it's oftentimes the most righteous people are the ones going through the greatest pain. It's because God is testing. God is growing. God allows these things to work and make us more like him. Perseverance, you know, it talks about patience and all these things we have to produce perseverance. And so God is working in us to produce that. But at the same time, there are oftentimes painful things that happen in our life, and God is trying to get our attention. And that's what's happening here with Pharaoh. God continues to send these consequences into his life until he listens. And God will sometimes send these things into our lives until we listen. But the sad thing is, Pharaoh refused to listen. And I've heard people sometimes, you know, I hear people, why are all these bad things happening in my life? Why is it one thing after another and one thing after another and one thing after another? And when it's someone that you know is obviously walking away from God and they're doing their own thing, you know, and they see all these things happening, you wonder, how often is God trying to get their attention? And just say, you know what, wake up. God loves us enough to spank us. You guys know the way the shepherd does it. He throws the rock past the wayward sheep. When the sheep will keep wandering off, the shepherd will throw the rock beyond them and try to scare him back. He'll make these things happen. Thumps all around him, you know, thump, 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 you know, and the sheep start thinking, all right, something's happening, you know, and so I need to go back to God, right? I need to go back to God and turn back, right? And some sheep, that's all it takes. A rock concert or two, you know, over the head, and they're right back. Some sheep just, no, they keep going. And the shepherds have to literally go and take the sheep and break their leg. Now, that sounds brutal. They literally break the leg. And then they reset the leg and they carry them. And the reason they do that is because now the sheep can't wander off. And number two, the sheep is hand-fed by the shepherd. And they say that by the time the healing process takes place, that sheep is the closest to the shepherd. He stays real close. He never leaves again. He learned his lesson. But how did he learn his lesson? By pain. By great pain. And which is better, pain or death? Pain. So when God brings pain into someone's life, if it's an unbeliever, that pain comes in to drive them to Christ. If it's a believer, that pain is there sometimes because they're doing everything right. And God is growing them and maturing them by trials. Sometimes it's because they're walking away from God and they're not doing everything right and God's trying to chastise them and bring them back. So only God knows what it is and the person seeking the Lord knows what it is. So, but our job is to seek him and say, all right, God, what is this? And so he says, all right, let my people go. I'm the same God. I'm saying the same thing. Not your other gods, I'm greater than your gods. For at this time, verse 14, I will send all my plagues to your very heart. What does he mean to the very heart? People are going to die now, Pharaoh. The plagues before just caused a lot of discomfort. Flies everywhere, boils, you know, sores, whatever. People are going to die now, Pharaoh. And they're going to die because the nation has been warned but is refusing to repent. Now, this is where I can hear people say, well, what kind of God would actually begin to let people die as he's turning up the heat on a nation? A God that loves a nation. Now, what do I mean by that? Is it better to let a nation die and be eternally separated from God in the lake of fire? Or is it better to let tragedies, horrible tragedies sometimes, come into a nation's life so that the people in mass turn back to God and are saved and in heaven? You have to look at it. Which is better? See, we think of the temporary. People shouldn't suffer. Don't want anyone to hurt. God thinks of the eternal. And God's viewpoint is this: if I've got to make them suffer and hurt so I can have them forever, so be it. But if I give them a nice cushy life where they never have any pain and they go to hell, I've lost them forever. So we have to understand God's mindset. God thinks of things differently than we do. We think of, you know, the temporal. He thinks of the eternal. God says, this time it's going to the very heart, he says here. He says, and on your servants and on your people that you may notice this, know that there is none. I have no and none underlined. You may know there's none like me in all the earth. Pharaoh, you're finally going to understand it. This is me. I'm doing this. And you know what? The flies didn't work. The boils didn't work. The lice, all these things didn't work. But now when your people begin to die, I hope I get your attention. And he's going to be rained so hard that finally God has to end up taking the firstborn as an act of mercy to the nation that they might repent. And we're going to see that many of them did repent. And actually, as we said, follow the Israelis out of Israel. And so God always begins dealing gently with his word. And then God begins to bring in consequences. And if that doesn't work, God will begin to turn up the heat little by little. Now the Egyptians have put the Lord off so blatantly and for so long, he has no choice but to turn up the heat to the point where, as I said, some are actually going to be dying here, that they may know that he alone is God. And Pharaoh's going to realize there is only one true and living God. But this is what, look at this, verse 15. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. In other words, God's saying, I could have just wiped you out and killed all of you. If I'd struck you with pestilence and just killed you, I could have done that, right? But notice this verse and what a huge verse this is. I have the entire verse underlined in chapter 9. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up. God raising up this unbeliever and putting him in position, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Does God sometimes raise up unbelievers and put them in powerful positions to show his glory? Yes. He says right here he did it. And he did it again with Nebuchadnezzar. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, he was an unbeliever. He said, I've raised you up and put you in that position that I might show myself great. And now he tells Pharaoh, I've raised you up and I've made you the Pharaoh over all Egypt that I might show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Now again, not the power of honoring Pharaoh, but because of Pharaoh's hardness of heart in judgment of Pharaoh. And God says, I could have just killed you, but I've raised you up that I may show that power and that the world may see my glory. And notice the result here of this. He says that his name will be declared in all the earth. God's going to do this so much so that his name will be declared in all the earth. Question, was God's name declared in all the earth because of what happened in Egypt and the 10 plagues? Yes, because in that day, even when they went in the promised land in Jericho, remember the harlot there in Jericho, she said, we've heard about you and we heard what your God did down in Egypt. So around the world, they knew then. And is it still known today? The 10 plagues of Egypt is one of the most famous things in all the world. People know it. Those who know the word or those who know of the Bible and have TV, I mean, even just the movies that are on. And so he says, the result will be my name will be declared in all the earth. And God's name is being declared in all the earth. And it's been happening ever since. Notice this, he says, I've raised you up for this very purpose, that I might bring my judgments in and show that I'm greater. Amazing. And this causes all kinds of struggles for people and theological discussions and theological issues. Paul brings it up in the New Testament. Paul brings up the whole thing of raising up Pharaoh for the purpose of bringing judgment on Egypt and the judgment of the gods of Egypt and all that God did in that. Again, people have a tough time with it. Is it fair if God raised Pharaoh up? Is it fair that Pharaoh was condemned? How could he do that? He couldn't resist God. No, Paul didn't say he couldn't resist God. God didn't say he couldn't resist him. God said, I've raised you up. Pharaoh could have said no at any time. Pharaoh could have repented. He could have given his life to the Lord, but he didn't. And so the question Paul brings up is was it fair what God did? Was it right what God did? And Paul says, absolutely. God raised him up. He still had a choice. He could have obeyed and averted the catastrophe, but God knew that he wouldn't. God knew what his choice would be. And because God knew that, he raised him up and used him as an example in all the world. Think about that. And then Paul went on to say, this is interesting here because Paul kind of, you know, I love it. You know, there oftentimes people want to try to talk to God about what's fair and not fair. You know, we have no right to talk to God about what's fair and what's not fair. It's none of our business. That just rubs some people the wrong way, doesn't it? That's not right. I do have a say in it. No, you don't. You have no say in it, nor do you have a right to have a say in it. Neither do I. And Paul says that. Paul says, well, some people will say that's unfair. How can God do that? Paul said, God can do what he wants. He's the creator of all the universe. He said, you have no right. He says, can the clay say to the potter, why did you make me this way? You can't do that. And so that goes against the American mindset because we want our say. And the big buzzword today is what? Fairness. God is fair. God is just, but we have no say in that. I'm glad that he is, aren't you? I'm glad that he's holy and righteous, but it's none of our business. We have no say in that. And Paul said that. He said, you have no right to even question God in that. Even if God did something that you thought was wrong, is it still fair? Yeah. Even if you don't think it's fair. Why? Because he's God. He can do what he wants. He made the rules. He created the universe. He created the earth, the heavens. He created all us. He can do what he wants. He can just choose to do whatever, and it's fair because he's God. And so Paul really is kind of chastising the reader there, saying, you know what? Who are you guys to question God? Who do you think you are questioning God? You have no right to do that. He says, I've raised you up. I've done this so that I can show my power in you. He says, as yet you exalt yourself against my people in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. I mean, it's going to be a year before you can even get your chariot in the shop. Or get your new roof done, you know, and get all the straw put up there. It's going to be a year before they're going to get around to do that because there's going to be so much damage. I mean, it's going to be huge. And notice he says it'll be very heavy, the worst they've ever seen. You know, the word they're very heavy, I mean, it means extremely. I mean, it talks intense. It comes with a meaning of intensity. He says, therefore, send now and gather. Now, look at this. God tells them what's going to happen. And still in God's mercy, he gives them a warning. God says, if you don't obey me, people will die. It's not that God just went and did it without warning them. He said, if you don't obey me, people are going to die. So listen to me. But because there were people that were so stubborn and listening to the word of God, people died. Isn't that amazing? We have the same thing today. People that refuse to listen to the word of God. And because of that, there's oftentimes death because the Bible warns us about things that are, you know, that we should do and not do and that we'll die from or whatever. And so there's all kinds of application here, but he says, therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought in the home, and they shall die. It's not that God wanted them to die. Let's understand that. Is everybody with me? God said, it's not that God wanted them to die. The point is, I'm bringing this judgment. And if you don't believe my word and obey it, men will die. Women will die. Your animals will die. But those of you who believe me, you're going to be fine. And that's good news right there. Because again, there's an application for us. People today who don't believe the word of God, they're going to die. It may not be physically. Well, we'll all die physically at some point, right? But it doesn't mean we'll die like right now physically. What it means is we're all going to die not only physically, but spiritually as well. Because there is a judgment one day, but if we heed the word of God, then we're going to live. So God, in his mercy and grace, warns Pharaoh and the people in Egypt in advance that destruction is coming, and if they don't listen and get their flocks and people inside, there'll be massive death among both. Now, the amazing thing to me is that after all they've seen, you would think after all they've seen and all that Moses has done, everybody in Egypt would believe him, wouldn't you? Don't miracles lead people to God? If people see miracles, they'll believe, right? Wrong.
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plot line for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved his sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt. But through this, he showed his might, power, and ability to bring his people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or his ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net. Under the Come to the Table link, you can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville, Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.